Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber Decryption. It's now.
Welcome in, everybody, to another deep dive from the Cyber Intelligence Bureau. You know us. We're a division of the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Lab. Today's case is fascinating. It really shows how our team combines open source intel.
OSINT?
That's right, OSINT, with human. Good old-fashioned human intelligence.
We're talking investigations, emotional and cognitive analysis. You know, getting into the minds of cyber threats.
Understanding their influences and motivations. And today, we are focusing on a group called Mr. Hamza.
Yeah, Mr. Hamza is interesting. See, they represent a new breed of cyber threat, not just technically proficient, but they've mastered the art of emotional and cognitive manipulation to get what they want.
Okay, so let's back up for a sec. When did this group first pop up? And where are they operating from?
So Mr. Hamza emerged in October 2024, and our investigations using OSINT and human suggest they're probably managed by actors of Moroccan origin.
But their influence reaches beyond Morocco, right?
Oh yeah, far beyond.
So they're relatively new. What kind of activities are they engaged in? What makes them a threat?
They specialize in a range of cyber attacks, from DDoS attacks.
Distributed denial of service attacks.
Right, to data leaks, and even the sale of malicious tools to other actors. They also collaborate with other hacktivist groups.
They don't just go it alone.
No. They're part of a larger network. It's called the Holy League, an alliance of hacktivist groups. You know, they share interests, often have complementary skill sets, allows them to share resources, expertise, even launch coordinated attacks.
This Holy League sounds like something to keep an eye on. So what are their objectives? What motivates them?
Mr. Hamza has a very strong anti-Israel and pro-Palestinian agenda, aligns with the broader Holy League. This ideological stance is a key driver of their activities. They use powerful messages. They tap into existing political and religious beliefs to attract those who share their worldview.
So they target people already sympathetic to their cause. Does that mean their targets are exclusively Israeli then?
Not at all. While their primary focus may be on Israel, their targets include government institutions, intelligence agencies, energy infrastructure.
Energy infrastructure.
Including nuclear facilities, financial services, and even military sectors. In a variety of countries, their reach is global.
Nuclear facilities. Wow. That's alarming. So we're not just talking about website defacement or data leaks here. This group could cause real-world disruption. Even physical harm.
Exactly. And that's why understanding their tactics is so important. They're not just hackers. They're master manipulators who use a blend of emotional and cognitive intelligence to get what they want.
Okay. Let's get into that. How do they recruit and retain members? How do they exert influence online?
One of their key recruitment tactics is using social media and messaging apps, particularly Telegram. They use these platforms for everything. Disseminating propaganda, recruiting new members, coordinating attacks, and even intimidating opponents?
Well, most people know that Telegram offers a certain level of anonymity. But why Telegram? What's going on there?
It's not just about anonymity. Mr. Hamza uses Telegram to create a sense of community and belonging. They've established a network of channels and groups where members can interact, share information, and receive training on hacking techniques.
So it fosters a sense of camaraderie, shared purpose, making individuals more likely to stay committed to the group's cause.
That's right.
It sounds like they're building a digital army.
Yeah.
Complete with training camps and a shared ideology.
Good way to put it. But their tactics go beyond just creating a sense of community. They also leverage NLP.
NLP.
Neuro-linguistic programming. Mr. Hamza uses NLP principles to subtly influence behavior. They can even trick people into revealing sensitive information.
NLP. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Isn't that a self-help technique? How does it work in this context?
NLP is a technique for understanding and influencing human behavior by analyzing language and patterns of thought. Mr. Hamza uses it to tailor their messaging to specific audiences, appealing to their emotions and exploiting their cognitive biases.
So it's about hacking minds as much as it is about hacking computers.
Absolutely, and they're very good at it.
This is where their emotional intelligence comes into play, right?
Exactly. They understand how to exploit fear, anger, ideology, to manipulate people's emotions, influence their behavior. They're also really good at fostering a sense of urgency and outrage, motivating people to act quickly without thinking critically.
So it's not just about spreading information, it's about triggering a specific emotional response.
Exactly. They're masters of crafting messages that resonate with their target audience's deepest fears and desires.
This is all starting to paint a very disturbing picture of Mr. Hamza. They're technically skilled, ideologically driven, and masters of manipulation.
And we haven't even gotten to their cognitive intelligence yet.
Right.
That's where their cognitive intelligence comes in. It lets them stay ahead, constantly adapting their tactics, finding new ways to exploit vulnerabilities. One example is a strategy they call SWES-H. It stands for Rapid Change Strategy.
So SWES Week, what's that all about?
CTECH makes them incredibly agile. They rapidly change their targets, their attack methods, even the online identities. It helps them evade detection. It makes it really hard for cybersecurity professionals to keep up.
So it's not just about being technically skilled. It's about being adaptable, unpredictable.
You got it. They might start with a DDoS attack to test a target's defenses, then switch to ransomware if they find a vulnerability, or they could launch a disinformation campaign to distract attention while they're carrying out a more sophisticated attack somewhere else.
Sounds like they're always a step ahead. But how do they choose their targets? Is it random, or is there some kind of strategy involved?
Oh, there's definitely a strategy. Mr. Hamza is really good at identifying and exploiting vulnerabilities. They might target organizations with outdated software, weak passwords, poor security practices.
Doing their homework?
Absolutely. They're constantly scanning the internet for potential targets, gathering intelligence, probing for weaknesses. They're also known to exploit the Internet of Things, IoT devices.
You mean like our everyday devices, the things we use to make our lives easier?
Yeah. Things like smart thermostats, security cameras. They can compromise these devices and use them to create botnets for launching large-scale DDoS attacks.
So our own devices could be turned against us.
It's a scary thought, but it's the reality we're facing. And it's not just DDoS attacks. They might also use compromised IoT devices to gain access to corporate networks or even critical infrastructure.
Okay, we've covered a lot. Yeah. We've talked about their technical skills, ideological motivations, mastery of emotional and cognitive intelligence, global reach. What's the worst-case scenario here? What keeps you up at night when it comes to Mr. Hamza?
What worries me most is their potential to cause widespread disruption and even physical harm. They've already targeted critical infrastructure, but what if they were to launch a coordinated attack on multiple targets at the same time? Imagine power grids going down, hospitals losing access to patient records, transportation systems shutting down, financial markets collapsing.
That sounds like chaos.
It would be. And the consequences would be devastating, not just in terms of economic damage, but also human suffering and loss of life.
So what can we do to protect ourselves from this kind of threat? Is there any hope of stopping groups like Mr. Hamza?
Stopping them entirely might be unrealistic, but we can definitely try to lessen their impact. And that starts with awareness. The more people understand the threat they pose and the tactics they use, the better prepared we'll be to defend ourselves.
Knowledge is power.
Exactly. We need to educate people, organizations, about the importance of cybersecurity. Things like strong passwords, multi-factor authentication, being wary of phishing attempts.
Things we hear a lot, but it's easy to forget about.
I know, but complacency can be really dangerous when you're dealing with a threat like Mr. Hamza. We also need to invest in better cybersecurity infrastructure and threat intelligence capabilities. Governments and businesses need to work together, share information, develop strategies for countering these threats.
So it's a team effort.
It has to be. We can't afford to work in silos.
All right, we've covered a lot today, and it's clear that Mr. Hamza is a serious and growing threat. But before we wrap up, I want to go back to something you said earlier about emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You said that Mr. Hamza is really good at manipulating emotions. Can you give us some examples of how they do that?
Sure. One of their most effective tactics is exploiting existing grievances and ideologies. They'll find groups of people who feel marginalized or disenfranchised and then tailor their messages to play on those feelings. For example, they might target young people who are passionate about social justice issues, framing their cyber attacks as a form of activism against perceived injustices.
So they're weaponizing empathy and idealism.
Exactly. They understand that people are more likely to support a cause if they feel an emotional connection to it. And once they've hooked someone emotionally, it's much easier to manipulate them, to get them to take action, whether that's spreading propaganda online or even participating in cyber attacks.
That's a disturbing thought.
It is. And it really highlights the importance of critical thinking skills, especially online. We need to be able to tell fact from fiction, question the information we see, and be aware of the potential for manipulation.
We live in a time when there's so much information out there. It's easy to get caught up in emotionally charged rhetoric. It's really important to remember that not everything we see online is true, and even groups that seem well-intentioned can have hidden agendas.
It is. It's a complex landscape. We've talked about Mr. Hamza's tactics, motivations, but it's kind of scary to think how all of that might evolve.
Yeah, the cyber threat landscape is always changing. What trends should we be looking out for? What are cybersecurity experts worried about these days?
Well, one big concern is this increasing convergence between the physical and digital worlds. As we rely more on these interconnected systems, you know, think smart cities, self-driving cars, the whole Internet of Things thing,
Right.
the potential attack surface for groups like Mr. Hamza, it just gets bigger and bigger.
So it's not just about data breaches anymore, or just taking down websites. We're talking about disrupting essential services.
Yeah.
Maybe even causing physical harm.
Exactly. Imagine if a cyber attack shuts down a power grid or messes with transportation systems. Think about the impact on everyday life, the economy, public safety. It would be huge.
So it's something out of a movie.
Yeah, except it could really happen, and the threats don't stop there. We're also seeing more sophisticated attack methods. Groups like Mr. Hamza are using things like AI and machine learning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're developing more powerful malware, automating attacks, even making deepfakes for disinformation campaigns.
So the tools that are supposed to make our lives easier are being used to make them more dangerous.
There's a double-edged sword. Mm. And then there's this thing called hybrid warfare.
Hybrid warfare.
Yeah, it's where they combine cyber attacks with traditional military tactics and disinformation, trying to cause chaos, undermine people's trust in governments and institutions.
We've seen that happening in some recent conflicts. It's scary stuff.
Definitely. So what does all this mean for the future? To be honest, we're in uncharted territory here. The threats are changing faster than ever. There's no easy answer.
That sounds pretty bleak. Is there anything we can do to get ready for this increasingly dangerous cyber world?
There is. But it will take all of us working together. Governments need to invest in strong cybersecurity infrastructure and share information. Businesses need to prioritize security measures, train their employees, and people need to be aware of the risks and take steps to protect themselves.
So it's not just about technology, it's about people and awareness.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We need to create a culture of cybersecurity where everybody understands how important it is to protect our digital world.
That's a great point. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today. And it's clear that Mr. Hamza is a complex and evolving threat. Thank you for talking to us about all of this.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And to all of you listening, we hope you found this deep dive informative. Remember, knowledge is power when it comes to cybersecurity. Stay vigilant, stay informed, and stay safe. This has been a deep dive from the Cyber Intelligence Bureau, the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.